I've been finishing this book of Tao poems recently, and in the process of working through deeper and deeper levels of the meaning of this concept of Tao, I went back to comparing Lao Tzu's understanding with Zhuang Tzu, and they're very different. And it's interesting to understand that difference as part of our sadhana. For Lao Tzu, the key concept of Tao is Wu. Now, Wu can mean no, not, or nothingness, or non, as in Wu Wei is defined in English as non-action or effortless action. But the non, the not, the negation. And if you read the Tao Te Ching, this concept of Wu becomes reified as nothingness. And this is what Zhuang Tzu objected to, and so he created the concept of Wu Wu, which means no nothing, no no, our final of the seven no no's. And he was very adamant in the fact that the mind, because it tends to reification, will make a something out of nothingness. Because as soon as you have a noun, you believe you have a thing. But nothingness is literally no thing, no concept. It is freedom from conceptualization. The only way you attune to the Tao is to be completely free of all conceptualization. And it is in this absolute stillness of the mind, when there is no movement of thought, no attempt to grasp anything, any concept, that the original nature of consciousness, in the purity of its presence, of its intelligence that is not bound to concepts, and therefore not bound to beliefs, and not bound to ideologies, and not bound to paradigms, and not bound to frames of reference, that freedom from all of that tendency to locate oneself as a particular being in a particular world, in a particular space, in a particular situation, with particular feelings and attitudes, etc. All of that must dissolve in order to pierce the veil of illusion, to know what is real beyond the matrix, because the matrix consists merely of a tissue of concepts that have become imaginarized and projected as a world. But all of it is fictional. And if we are to move from the fictional to the real, we have to pierce through that veil of thoughts into the stillness that is timeless. We are now at literally the end of time. Time has its own temporality. Time is finite. It must have an end, because if it didn't have an end, time could not move backward, because it has to move back from somewhere. If time was infinite, we would never find its movement from the future to the past, because that future would be infinitely far away. So we know it is finite, and we know the beginning is finite. And we can feel the end approaching, because the entropic situation of the exhaustion of the human spirit, which is the consciousness that is projecting this world, has reached a point of self-annihilation on a world scale, literally. And so as we see that, an unconscious death drive on a mass basis, that is an unconscious effort to return to that timelessness, it is very important not to invest in the world that is dying, but to invest in what is being born. But in this case, what is being born is the eternal itself. It is timelessness that is returning into unity with time. And it is the out-of-syncness of time and eternity that causes time to have to end so that eternity can return. Why? Because the energy of the real is in the eternal, not in the temporal, because the temporal is simply a fictional projection. And at the end of time, that projection becomes hideous. It becomes horrifying. It becomes unbearably traumatic. And as the energies of the traumatic incoherence of consciousness that has lost its internal order and become chaotic and can no longer be controlled because the center has been lost. You remember that famous poem by Yeats, "The Center Cannot Hold." And that's what brings that rough beast, its hour come round at last, to Bethlehem to be born. So we have the birth of the beast and the mark of the beast that is already appearing that brings the end that will initiate the new beginning. And so we have the meeting of evil and good, dark and light, all the dualities. And we must not focus with a split mind upon these dualities, but be in that state that unifies all of these impossible coincidentia oppositorums that cause the world to seem as incoherent and chaotic and ominous as it now is. And the only way to do that is to abide in the absolute stillness of the purity of consciousness prior to its projection into the matrix. And that state, because it is timeless, is always present if we return to the center. That is the place where you find the light, the power, the coherence, the presence, and the eternal nature that is true, that cannot be frightened or moved by the end of the world, because it has gone through this an infinite number of times and remains always immovable. This is the meaning of Buddha's sitting under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya. He found the immovable spot. It wasn't the tree in India that was the immovable spot. It was that point of his consciousness in which there is absolute stillness, total flatlining, elimination of any mental movement. And that is the eye of the needle through which one pierces beyond the matrix into the eternal space of the absolute self. And this is redemption. This is liberation. This is the only salvation there is. And when you enter it, it will be rapture, bliss. It will be freedom. It will be liberation. From which point, beyond the matrix, one is able to reproject the light into the matrix now, to shift the vibrational frequency from its low and chaotic state of Kali Yuga to its highest state of Satyuga. But you can only do this from the zero point that is the singularity. This is that point that Archimedes was looking for to have a lever to move the world. He needed a fulcrum. But how do you find the fulcrum beyond the world? You have to go beyond the world into that space of the original nature that projected the world. And in that space, there is infinite power to move the world, to return it to its highest possible state within the spectrum of consciousness, and to create a congruence and a unification of the timeless with the temporal, the archetypal with the actual. This is the task of yogis at the end of time. But this task can only be fulfilled once we have gone through the eye of the needle and are no longer invested, not even for one speck of an instant, in the dying world, or in the illusory identity with the body, or with any of the values that can be gained from any jouissance in the world that has no longer any prana, any energy, any goodness, any reality. And by completely disinvesting in the world, dropping our anchor, letting go of all attachment to the world, we become again one with God, with the Absolute Self, and have the power to redream a new world in the image of that absolute beauty and goodness and purity and joy and love and all of the things we would love to find in this world, but they are no longer here to be found. But they still are, because those eternal values exist in the heart of God. We must return to that heart. And then we can retrieve all of that goodness and bring it back into the world as a great gift to creation. This is the meaning of the tree of life that becomes the Christmas tree at the end of time, the end of the yearly cycle, in which the presents of the new age, the new cycle, are given. They are given out at the end, not in the new beginning. You must retrieve all of those powers, all of that goodness, all of that purity, here and now, in order to be able to have a new cycle of time in which the gods return as you and I, or we stay in that eternal light, having graduated from this whole cyclical process that goes from light to dark, from goodness to evil, from perfection to chaos, and then returns again. Once we understand that this entire process is happening within our own consciousness, not outside of it, we are not creatures of a cosmic process, but creators. And as the creator of that process, through the unification of your intelligence with that supreme intelligence, there can never be any longer any entrapment in the partial. One will always remain in the universal, in the complete and total consciousness that is the absolute Satchit Ananda, that is underlying, pervading, and moving all that occurs within time, and bringing about the ultimate good destiny in which all the powers of the real are given to those who have earned it through their sacrifice of the unreal within the frame of time in those last seconds that tick before the singularity arrives again. We are in those moments to claim the fortune that belongs to those who have been Christed, who have become the star at the top of the tree of life through shining as that spark of infinitesimal, spaceless, timeless, infinitely luminous intelligence that is our real being. And now is the moment for that transcendental leap into the point of light that is the point of all of creation, to know as oneself. May you give yourself the grace of the realization of the supreme and unsurpassable delight of the supernal light of God as it shines as your own third eye here and now in time and beyond, in which all of time is contained in this moment. May you know the freedom that is eternity. May you know the peace that comes of investing your entire attention, your heart, your mind, your love, your body, your energy entirely in the supreme God Self. And may you know the return on that investment as infinite intelligence and eternal bliss. And may you know the even deeper peace of the realization that you have always been the eternal, infinite, absolute self. Even during those lifetimes when the truth has been forgotten, but the connection to the Absolute Source has remained always with you. And may you know that eternal connection in its fullness now. And may you know the supreme bliss of realizing not simply the connection, but the realization that you are the Source who has never incarnated, never forgotten, never entered into time, but always remains in the absolute purity of the supreme reality, shining with the light that brings salvation to every soul who has fallen into false consciousness, and whose light shines now with such power that none can remain asleep.